Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. It's Shep Hyken here. We're back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio. We have a repeat offender on the show. That's right. He's been here once before. Simon T. Bailey is back. The last time we talked about his book, Spark, this time we're going to be talking about resilience at work. Now, before we dive into the interview, quick announcement, if you have a story about an amazing customer experience and you want to share it, please send it my way or just go on any of the social channels. I'm everywhere. And by the way, if you have a question, please ask the question on those channels as well. And you can use the hashtag AskShep. I'll either answer it there on this show, in my newsletter, or perhaps on my TV show, which is Be Amazing or Go Home. That can be found on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Prime. And if you go to beamazing.tv, that's beamazing.tv, there are all of the episodes in one place for you to binge watch, just like you would a favorite Netflix series. All right, everybody, let's jump into the interview. Simon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you again.
Well, I'm excited because you are a repeat offender of Amazing Business Radio. You've been on, and the last time we talked about your book, which was related to brilliance, you are the brilliance expert, aren't you?
That's what some people say.
Well, it's all over your website, and it's all about being brilliant at work. And obviously, your work in the customer service and experience world, I know well because that's the world we play in here. So why don't we just start off? And by the way, I'm going to tease everybody. Simon has a brand new book that just came out. The title is not brilliance, it's resilience. It's resilience at work. And the at, by the way, is like your email address. You know, it's like shep@hyken.com. It's resilience at work. And we'll talk about that because I think resilience is a very powerful, powerful topic. And the level of resilience that different people have allows them to operate completely differently. Either they have a capability, they can overcome certain issues, and sometimes they can't. We're going to talk all about that and more. But first, this is what you're known for. At least this is what I know you for. Maybe eventually they're going to know you as the resilience expert throughout the world. But right now, I know you as the brilliance guy, and you're great at customer service and experience. So what is the customer service framework that ignites, and I know that is your one of your favorite words, ignites passion, cultivates devotion, and this is my favorite part, breeds unwavering customer loyalty. Give it to me, Simon. Give it to me.
So the five simple principles is an acronym called SPARK. The S is see them as guests, and the action step is commit to connect. The P is personalize the experience, and the action step is by individualizing the moment. The A is anticipate their needs, the action step through listening and observing. The R is respond immediately, the action step is to solve their problem. And the final principle is K, which means keep them loyal, and the action step with acts of kindness. So those are the principles that I've learned over the last 30 years after Disney and doing some work for the Ritz-Carlton Learning Institute.
So this is amazing. You have worked with some of the most, I'll call them iconic brands in the customer service and experience world. You just dropped to, Disney. And who, you worked actually at Disney and, you know, the Ritz-Carlton. Oh, yeah. Who are they? One of the top luxury brands of the world. But also, you know, you've got, hey, let's throw Taco Bell in there. Because yes. When done right, that is a great experience.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Love my folks at Taco Bell.
Yep, and Deloitte and Marriott and American Express and Visa and how about MasterCard and Discover?
Yes, I have.
All right, excellent. You've got it all. So that's a really simple framework. And I believe we talked about Spark several years ago when you were here before. So how do you turn, and I like the word transaction, you want to move it from a transaction to a connection. I want to talk about a transaction and stop thinking about it as transactional because that's one time, to become an interaction, which is one of many, Hence, you have that enduring connection. So give us some insights on your thoughts around that.
So one of the brands that really gets this right is Chewy.com. I was working with a client and she said Chewy.com contacted her and asked for a picture of her dog. And she sent it to him. And she said a few weeks later, Chewy.com sent her a hand-painted drawing of her dog free of charge, just as a thank you that she is prominently displayed in her kitchen. And she thought it was just a one-off until she started talking to other friends who subscribe and get their pet food from Chewy.com. And I said, whoa, Chewy.com understands it is about the emotional connection.
Yeah. That, and you know, they're also very famous for if your dog passes away or your pet passes away, let's be more inclusive, right? Let's not just talk about dogs, any pet for that matter. They have a whole protocol that if you call to cancel your subscription because of the death of your, you know, loved one, which in this case is a pet, the way they respond is not just, okay, no problem, we're sorry to hear that. They go a step further. They send you notes. You really feel like you're connected to this brand. They've done an amazing job of that.
They really, really have. And I think that's their point of differentiation in a very crowded space in the pet business. Wow. They just stand head and shoulders above the noise.
Do you think that is easy for any company to be able to do this? Because doesn't it seem like it's so easy?
You know, so we've often heard it's common sense, but it's not common practice.
Right.
And those that get it right, they make common practice just a part of their culture. They embed it into the head, the heart, and the hands of everyone that's connecting with their customers.
Well, how do they do it? How does a company become that? Is it a manager or leader's decision to make that happen? But even if they do make it happen, how does it permeate through the entire company?
Number one, it starts with orientation. Number two, once that person is moved into their department, that leader or manager reinforces it every single day through storytelling. What we did right, what are the areas of opportunity? But then I think another thing is they try to catch their folks doing something right, because what gets recognized gets repeated. Here's the research. 1 minute spent on recognition creates 100 minutes of initiative. So if my leader or manager points out something that I do right in the customer journey, and to use your words, in that interaction, oh my God, now it's now embedded. I got to do that again. But you don't need the manager or supervisor tapping you on the shoulder, encouraging you to do it. You now have got the chip embedded and you do it automatically because you know you'll get recognized for the right behavior.
All right. I want to go over. This is a huge thing. One simple sentence. 1 minute of recognition is equal to
100 minutes of initiative.
Wow. And you see, the research proves it. Is this your research?
It's not our research. I actually got it from a restaurant chain that I was working with, and they shared what they discovered, which took them to the next level. And I was like, whoa, 1 minute of recognition, 100 minutes of initiative.
Wow. This is the thing. And you don't have to, recognition could be one-on-one recognition. Hey, come over here a moment. I just want to tell you what a great job you did. Yes. It can also be, today we're recognizing we're here at the banquet and we want to recognize a few of the people that stand out, and that type of recognition. By the way, the public recognition is phenomenal for other people to hear it. I also think you should ask permission of the person you're going to publicly recognize to make sure they're comfortable coming up and accepting the praise, if not even an award. People, I've seen this happen. They're so uncomfortable to walk up in front of their peers. All they want to do is just do the job they love to do. And as leaders, we should respect that.
I made that mistake at Disney. I brought everybody together. We were going to recognize a cast member. She turns flush red, runs out the room. I said to my executive assistant, what just happened? Go after. And she came back and said, Candace doesn't like public recognition. Huge learning for me. So we had to find out her appreciation language.
Yep. That's appreciation language. There's another boom. What's each person's appreciation language? Now, in your SPARK model, you just use the word personalize. And that Spark model is typically thought of for customers. However, you just applied one of the concepts direct to one of her fellow employees. I'm going to bet you've thought about this too. I'd have to go back and look at the book, but that Spark model works just as effectively on your employees as it does your customer?
That's where it should start, because employees are your first customer. Employees are your first customer. Leaders create the experience for employees. You know this in the value chain. Employees create the experience for customers. So you can take that Spark model, and how do you see that employee as a guest? How do you connect to them and then personalize it in the way they want to receive it?
Yep. So brilliant, brilliant. Oh, dare I use that word? And that's your word, brilliant information from the guy that is all about being brilliant. So let's shift gears. And in a moment, we're going to come back from a break. And when we do, we're going to talk about your brand new book, which is Resilience at Work. Resilience could potentially be your superpower. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages and of any ilk throughout the world, we are talking to the famous Simon T. Bailey, all about great service, great experiences, and coming up, we're going to talk about resilience. Don't go away. We're coming right back. One of my favorite sayings is that customer service isn't a department. It's a philosophy, and it's a philosophy that must be embraced by everyone in the organization all the time, and that's 24/7. So if customer service is important to you, and I know it is, then you will love our virtual training, the ultimate on-demand customer service and experience training program that you can access anytime, anywhere. Now, the course content applies to everyone, regardless of position and responsibility, from senior executives to the most recently hired and everyone in between. You'll discover tips, ideas, and strategies that won't cost your company a fortune, but will produce what I call moments of magic, those positive experiences, and it will happen at every level of your organization. So go to Customer Service VT. That's V as in virtual, T as in training. That's CustomerServiceVT.com. It's time to get customer focused.
You're listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We are back on Amazing Business Radio talking to the famous Simon T. Bailey, and we are now going to learn all about his latest and greatest book, and it's Resilience at Work, with that at, not A-T, but at the little sign, like in an email address. That's what you want to be thinking about. It is an interesting book. It's a parable. You have four characters: Hurry, Worry, Ready, and Steady. And immediately what came to mind is Huey, Dewey, and Louie, but I don't know where the fourth guy is. But, you know, talk to us about this new book, and why did you shift to the concept of resilience? And I understand you are doing a ton of research in this world, and this is a powerful, powerful topic.
So here's what we discovered in the research. Almost 56% of people are living life in a hurry, and 48% of working Americans are worried about the future. And unless they tap into resilience, resilience, as we define it, is to bounce back better, bend, not break. Unless we tap into resilience, you'll never get to brilliance. So we decided to kind of back up, because for 20 years, we've been talking and writing about brilliance, but I recognize what the world is talking about. McKinsey, World Economic Forum, is resilience is the way to the future. So that's why we decided to write this whole book and turn it into a business parable.
You know, I think about the word resilient. I believe I'm a fairly resilient person. I can be going through a lot in my life. I could have a stressful day. It's time for me to get on stage and deliver a presentation. And for that 1 hour or however long I'm on stage, it goes out of my head. I do my thing. I get off stage. And then all the worry and hurry starts all over again. A death in the family. Some people say, oh, it's so terrible that mom passed away. And by the way, I was very sad when my mom passed away. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I looked at the life that we had together. And is it really a balance of understanding what, you know, like looking at a different perspective? I mean, talk to me about resilience.
Yeah.
What drives resilience?
Yeah. What really drives it is, think of life as being a surfing experience. So you're surfing in the ocean, and then the winds and the storms knock you off your surfboard. So what gets you back up on the surfboard? Or as I was talking with some surfers, they said, it's the ability to pop back up. But you can pop back up and surf, but brilliance is about catching the next wave. So until you pop back up, you don't tap into the brilliance. So what we discovered, there are four personality archetypes that show up at a surfing camp. So hurry is always in a hurry. Oh my God, I got to stay ahead of the future. worry is, oh my goodness, am I going to lose my job because of AI? And they're so focused on that, they're not popping back up to be resilient.
Yep. So you said there's four archetypes. That was two.
Yes. So then ready and steady. So steady is all about calmness. Superpower is I'm calm in the midst of everything that's going on. Steady has figured out how to take their meds, meditate, exercise, diet, sleep. And then ready is understanding how to be flexible and truly practice AI, actual intelligence. So ready and steady begin to coach hurry and worry as to how do you be resilient every single day.
So I like that. Actual intelligence, not artificial intelligence. Did
Yes.
you come up with that?
No, one of my clients called me one day, a CEO out of Seattle, and he said, Simon, I'm teaching my 3,000 real estate agents, shout out to Lennox. And he said, I've been telling them we have got to practice AI because, as you know, in the real estate industry, they're under attack right now with all the fintech products. So, how do they differentiate themselves? And he says, we are going to practice, and they're a 100-year-old real estate firm. We're going to practice AI, actual intelligence. And when Lennox Scott said it, I said, Lennox, dude, I got to borrow that. That's so good.
Well, if you the actual intelligence, if you use it for the purpose of resilience and can tie it specifically to that, you can own the trademark for that version of actual intelligence.
Nice.
All
Nice.
right, all right. But that's not what this show's about. I just love that actual intelligence. Wow, what a fun one. So, take us through several tips on how to be more resilient.
Yeah. So number one, something I learned from Dr. Martin Seligman at University of Penn, the father of positive psychology. Every day, ask yourself one question. What went well today? The reason that question is so important because that allows you to focus on looking through the windshield of where you're going instead of the rearview mirror of where you've been. Secondly, we bake three questions into the book. So the question that's really important that hurry and worry answer is, what do you want for you? So, in other words, don't wait for management to tap you on the shoulder and say, you need to be more engaged. No, what do you want for you? And what are you going to do about it? Second question, what are you feeling about where you are right now? That's the emotional question. And then the final question, Shep, is what step are you willing to take to get what you want? As you know, the best hand that will feed you in any economy is the one at the end of your wrist. So, what are you going to do? Not waiting for the company, not waiting for a promotion. How do you take that step?
Wow. I want to go back to the very first one, which go ahead, give it to me one more time so I don't.
Yes, so that first question, what went well?
What went well? Okay, so that's what, yes, what went well? I want to focus on that for a second.
Yeah.
I did an exercise. I don't know if you know this or not. I wrote a book called, I got to think about what the title was. It was Be Amazing or Go Home. And in the book were seven chapters, and each of the chapters really defined kind of what I would call a habit, but there were some case studies that drove that habit. I came up with an eighth one I wish I would have put in there. So I call it the eighth habit, and I made a little manuscript, and it was all about the attitude of gratitude. And I didn't come up with that term, but this, I believe, was probably Zig Ziglar that I first heard. You gotta have an attitude of gratitude. And what does that really mean? So through my strategic coach program, which I went to with Dan Sullivan for 20 years, I started looking at what I called the positive focus. And at the end of each week, I would write down, to your point, as part of the series, those three questions in the second part, it's like, what do I want to accomplish? What do I want for me during this week? And at the end of the week, I wrote down, what did I accomplish? And it may have been one of those, or it might have been something else good. Well, I took that to a whole nother level. My friend Al Castagna, who's a taxi cab driver in your city of Orlando, do you know Al?
No, I don't.
Okay, Al's awesome. Anyway, Al gave me one year in December a pocket planner to plan my week out, little calendar. And I said, I could use it for that, but I think I'm going to use it for something else. Instead of it's actually a daily planner, I'm going to refer to it as the daily reflector. And I decided for one solid year, I was going to write down on a weekday or a workday, something good that happened at work and that happened to me personally. And on the days I didn't work, hopefully many of them, because I was trying to take days off, I would write down just something good that happened in my personal life. And it could be something as simple as my daughter was in town and we had a great lunch, or it could be something huge, you know, maybe a major accomplishment. You know, she graduated law school, or my son had a great concert or whatever, and I was able to go. Business-wise, could have booked the event. Didn't matter. This is what I found out. It was less than 2 weeks before I could think of, even on my worst day, I could come up with something good that happened. And it was just popping into my head like that. It wasn't even hard to come up with ideas. And all of a sudden I realized everything around me, no matter how bad it was, wasn't, you know, there was a positive thing to look around. And maybe that's a step toward becoming more resilient. I don't know.
What you did in that attitude of gratitude, or as I say, fortitude is the new attitude, saying what went well causes you to spiral up instead of spiraling down.
Oh, boom, boom. How to spiral up.
Yeah.
That's great. I love it. I love what this whole thing is about. So we don't have a whole lot of time left. And, you know, I always save that last question is like one last, you know, what last thing do you want to share? The one thing I want to go to the book and I want you to think about it. If there's like one idea that you absolutely want everybody to just totally get, what is it?
Resilience is something that all of you want, but brilliance is what you need. Because brilliance is the unlock that differentiates you in any economy.
Yeah. And it takes being resilient to get to brilliant.
Correct.
Love it. All right. I love it. Well, Simon, this is why we call this Amazing Business Radio. You have been an amazing guest, just as you were the last time. It is so good to see you again. And I know many of us are listening to this episode, but I have the privilege of getting to look at Simon T. Bailey throughout the entire interview as we record this. So thanks for being on the show. I look forward to the next time, and congratulations on the book. Again, the book is Resilience at Work by Simon T. Bailey. Go to Amazon, buy it today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Simon, for being on the show. And that wraps it up. Another episode of Amazing Business Radio. We will be back next week with another interview. Until that time, this is Shep Eichen reminding you to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.